Three Peeps in a Podcast. Okay, so we're going to go for this again. It seems to work quite well, and a lot of people listened in the last time we did this. So I'm joined again by Matt Withers. How you doing, Matt?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Patch. And you, pal?
Not bad at all, not bad. Yeah, so we are Friday now. Game was Wednesday night. A much-needed 3 points. And as we said in the last show, that we gave them license to change it, bring in Wells, bring in Henriksen. And the only surprise for me, really, was Baker dropping out for Benkovic. But obviously, he got a goal. But any news on that, Baker? Do we know why that was?
I've not heard anything that he was carrying a knock or injured or anything. I think it probably was just a tactical thing, because I think, and you know, I think I said last week Nathan Baker would be one of the first names on my team sheet at the moment. But I think that Lee wanted to play, more of a bringing the ball out of the back attacking from the defenders, and I think obviously Benkovic gives you that more than perhaps Nathan does. I think Ashley Williams is the rock that he's kind of building everything on, so I could see why he did what he did, and credit to Lee Johnson, obviously worked both for Benkovic. I thought he was decent defensively, but obviously got a good goal as well, and gave us a little bit more of a presence in the penalty area, which we've probably not had since Flint, really.
Something that we've had in the past, with Flint being there so long, and also McComb in times gone by. Last minute, you could always throw them both up front and have that aerial presence in addition to the strikers. But as you said, Benkovic, was able to, just because he's cut his height, just get over the top of the defender and notch that goal. But great to see Wells playing and getting a few sniffs. He's not going to be on the ball all the time, but it's his off the ball movement that he will need to develop more to get the best out of playing for Bristol City versus other teams. Yeah, go on.
His goal patch for me just kind of showed what we've been missing. It's kind of that one chance. I thought he linked up really, really well with Famara throughout the game. Closed the ball down, well. I knew what we were going to get with Naki Wells, and I wasn't disappointed. I think it was slightly surprised he actually took him off when he did. I think Lee got a bit of stick from the crowd around him at that point, because it did seem as though we then went defensive, invited them on. And obviously, I think at the substitution stage, we may have been 3-1 up, but... Yeah. Certainly it then invited them on, so I was a bit surprised at that. But, we got the win, didn't we?
Yeah, no, exactly. But first sort of half an hour, I think Derby were the better team and more on top. What do you think?
They were. It was interesting. I had an argument. It wasn't an argument, but a lot of the fans who's sitting around me So I sit in the south stand, blockers 21. But a lot of the fans and sort of mates around me were discontent, should we say, with the fact that we were letting Derby have the possession that they had. Rooney ran the show. I like Man United, and for me, Wayne Rooney, he's England's all-time goal scorer.
Did you stand up and start the clap in the corner?
Didn't stand up, no, but I did clap him when he came across. Because again, I might have felt different if I didn't like Man U as well. Obviously, City is my team, but I have got a soft spot for Man U. And just respect for the bloke in terms of what he's done on the football field. And I didn't think he wasted a pass. I thought he looked absolute class for them. But the point in terms of their possession, I didn't think they hurt us. And I was sort of saying to everyone around me, I was actually enjoying the way we were defending, allowing him to have the ball like we did, but still being really solid. So that first 20, 25 minutes, there was a lot of anxiety and fans kind of wanting us to high press and push forward. And I was saying, if you do that, Rooney will pick you off. And they've got players of the likes of Lawrence. And so I was really comfortable with it. And then once we'd scored, I think everybody else then felt the same. We scored a second one pretty quickly, and it was kind of, maybe this was a plan. So
I
thought they were very good. I thought they were very good, Derby. But as I say, it was funny. Ian phoned Radio Bristol afterwards, Ian Gay, and was sort of saying how, you know, it's one of those things he talks about, the possession, and the fact that, yes, they had far more possession, but when you looked at shots and shots on target, we had more than they did. And so it proves, again, it's what you do with the ball when you've got the ball. So, yeah, I thought it was a really good performance by City. Yeah, apart from when we, you know, conceded like we did, got a bit sloppy, and it could have then easily finished 3-3, if not, you know, ended up losing the game. So
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, as you say, that first half an hour where they managed the game, Rooney was spraying it around. Never really felt a massive threat from them, as you say. No. But it was, you know, they always had that little bit of quality up front that then told in the second half. But, yeah, that was a strange one for me as well, the Wells coming off so soon. It was almost, he treated him like he's a player who hasn't played for a while, and he was giving him a rest.
Yeah, there was no knock, and a few people sort of saying, well, he's resting him for Saturday, and it was like, well why? Because he's been playing, he's, you know, in and around the sort of top of the goal scoring chance, and also to then not swap it like for like, you know, he could have brought Wijnman on in that instance. You know, it's probably the only option he did have to kind of keep it like for like, but I just felt it then meant we went defensive. And again, it's a strength of ours at the moment, but you don't really want to invite teams like Derby with the quality of Rooney, Waghorn, Martin, Lawrence. You know, they've got players all over the pitch that are going to hurt you. So I did think it was a bit of a strange move by Lee, I've got to be honest.
Absolutely. Okay, so great to get the 3 points under our belt, and the majority of results seem to go our way. I'm just looking at the table now, 53 points joint sixth, effectively. Goal difference might come into a big factor at the end of the season. We're on +3 versus, you know, +11 is the next one, sort of up on Preston. So, it's a bit of a worry at this stage with everything being so close.
It is, and I think it's you know, I actually think come the end of the season, it wouldn't surprise me at all if goal difference is what separates. I think, obviously, and I know we'll talk about it in a minute, but we've got a tough couple of games now with Leeds, West Brom. I think we finished the season at home to Preston, and that could be an absolutely massive game.
But that takes me back a few years when we had that game against Preston, and they had to win, didn't they, to win the league,
right,
or something?
Yeah.
There's always been a bit of a mutual respect, I think, between City and Preston from that game, really.
Yeah, I think there has. Certainly from the, it's a game I enjoy going to, especially away from home. It's a game we never do very well at. I mean, they really are our bogey team over the last sort of few years. So, you know, don't get me wrong. If someone says to me now, you can, you know, take it to the last game of the season and a win gets you in the playoff places, or if not the playoff places, top two, absolutely taking it. But you know, it would be a bit squeaky bum time if it does come down to that. But you know, hopefully, it showed the other night we've got goals in us. If we can defend better than we did the other night after going 3-0 up, because it should have been game over. That was down to game management and just seeing it out, really. We can start seeing that goal difference around a little bit.
For the goals that we did concede, that there was no one really marking the goal scorer on both occasions. That was a bit of a worry.
Yeah. And I think, I'm not going to be critical of Jack Hunt, because I thought he had a decent game again, certainly going forward. I think we still need to go out and close the man down. It's basic stuff, but if you stop the cross coming in the box, then they're not going to get a shot or a header on goal in the 6-yard box. And we were slow closing it down. I think Nick Eliasson didn't give Jack much protection, and a couple of times he kind of got caught one on two, and I just thought we should have gone out quicker to close the ball down. It seemed as though Ashley Williams and then Benkovic both got kind of underneath the ball, both going for the same ball, and Waghorn was, you know, middle of the 6-yard box, completely unmarked.
Is that a bit of a chink in the armour, having Hunt and Eliasson on the same side in the back? They're both quite forward minded.
Yeah, I think it's a good shout, Patch, because I think it certainly showed that late on, and I think Derby exposed it. You know, it was that side they were really attacking. I think on the left-hand side, you know, I mean, obviously he switches it around, but we just felt a little bit more solid that side. I also thought with the other substitution, with Callum coming on, I wasn't sure where Callum was playing, really. He almost seemed to be sort of centre-mid, really, and
again, Rooney role, wasn't he?
It seemed to be. And it, you know, to be fair to him, he had a couple of good little breaks. Perhaps should have laid the ball off slightly earlier on one and took it on himself. And, you know, we got kind of caught with it. But, yeah, I think that would be my concern. They just need to tighten up and close the crosses in, because the goals we conceded were two poor goals, really.
Yeah. Before we move away from the Derby game, just want to touch on the last few minutes. So Zizou has an opportunity, he's through on goal. Yeah. Let's just pause for a minute before we get to what happened next. But yeah. two years ago, I would have had no confidence in him actually getting to the goal versus, you know, what he actually did, which was take it on with pace, some couple of great touches to put himself in a good position. So let's focus on the positives there. But obviously just hit the post and went wide, unfortunately. So he's still got that little bit of improvement.
I think we're still in the same boat with Fanmi and you, mate. I think that we can recognise just the absolute vast improvement in him in the last 6 to 10 weeks, really, let alone from sort of the season. I thought he was exceptional again the other night. I really did. What he gives us again defensively in our own box from corners and just can't be underestimated. But, you know, he defends like that. He works tirelessly. Certainly when Naki went off, you know, again, he was kind of that one man on his own. And to then still have the legs and to get away like he did, I actually think his final touch just took it a little bit closer to Hamer than he wanted. And therefore, he sort of stretched a little bit. But when you watched his reaction, I still think he thinks he scored. And it, you know, it's literally the last kind of couple of rotations of the ball. It clips the post and goes wide. And then Andy Wyman had a really good chance just after it as well. But they are, it's small margins, Patch, because that could have been the difference between sealing it and, you know, ending up getting a, you know, they go at the other end and get a draw. So, well, but like just, you, I'm not going to be critical of him because, you know, he had the legs to get there. Yes, he knows he should have scored, but. You know, again,
the actual result on the night, but, you know, as we've spoken about just then, the goal difference factor, extra goal. You know, I know it was a spurring chance, and we could laugh about it at the time. Yeah, but could be quite crucial.
It could be, and I think that's where, again, the more that Naki and Famara play together, I think their understanding will get better. I don't know about you, I was surprised at just how good a leap Naki Wells had.
He won a number of
headers that you kind of thought, you know, I just didn't see him getting anywhere near it. So,
and perhaps
I think
that's
those
why
two
I
playing
was,
together.
Yeah, perhaps that's why I was so shocked when I saw him in person for the first time. I didn't realise he was quite so short.
He's not got much about him, has he? Yeah.
But in terms of the spring he's got, you know, he's not Ronaldo, but he's got a good spring on him. A bit like Joe Bryan, though, has had a good spring on him as well. He's not a big lad.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Right. So this move on then to Saturday. Are you able to travel up to Leeds or what?
Coach four.
Fair play.
I was going to drive, but I thought, you know, it's a long old trek, Leeds. And just getting out from the ground and stuff. So I thought, no, I'll actually, and the prices were pretty decent for the coach. So I thought, no, I'll get the coach. Mm, so okay. Yeah, going out, and I've done Leeds. What, the last three times we've played out there? I think last season we did we lose 2-1 or I think we definitely lost. I think last season, but the season before, I think we were 2-0 up at half time and just cruising it. And then second half, we kind of let them back in it, and I think it ended up a draw. And we were lucky with a draw because I think they clipped the post at the end. But it's not the best hunting ground in the world, and obviously it's quite an intimidating atmosphere. You know, their fans really get behind them. When they're on top, you know, if you can get them like we did that game a couple of seasons back and took 2-0, they went really quiet and really started getting on the backs of the team. I think Heckingbottom was manager then at the time.
Did that finish 2-2?
Finished 2-2, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you can get at them, then the crowd will silence a little bit. I do wonder the team that Lee's going to put out, I wonder whether he will kind of go more defensive again. And therefore, you know, we might have to soak up the pressure. I think it's a dangerous game when you do that against the likes of Leeds, because I think they've got quality that will hurt you. Yes, they're on a bad run, but You know, I think even on their bad run, when you've looked at the game, they've missed some great opportunities, and probably easily could have won, you know, three or four of those games that they've drawn. So I think it'd be a really, really tough game.
The actual team that you would put out, what are you thinking? I'll kick off if you like. I probably would go, if Baker, Benkovic and Williams are all fit, I probably would go three at the back with the wing backs. Yeah. I might even think about bringing Tommy Rowe back in for a bit of grit.
Do you know, it's an interesting one, Patch, because for me, Tommy Rowe, and I reckon I am probably in very much the minority. I think he's a good squad player, and I think he's a good utility player, but I don't know he gives me enough. And certainly not of late. I mean, he came on the other night, and I don't know that he gave me any more than we would have done if we'd kept Henriksen on. Or so I'm still, and again, like I say, I know I'm in the minority, but I'm still to be overly convinced by him. Whereas plenty of others would be talking about him being player of the year because of, you know, the versatility of him. So I get that, but yeah, I can see the logic of that, mate.
I would have him and Jay De Silva as wing backs, and then I would stick with Henriksen in the middle with Corey Smith, and so where have we got three, so five, three. I've got Patterson as well in the middle, just on one of the sides. And then still stick with Wells and Zizou up front.
Yeah, I think obviously a lot will depend on Corey and whether the injury that he picked up, or the I was talking to a mate of mine who sits in the Lansdowne, the lower Lansdowne, and he sort of said he saw him kind of twist and then go down. So it wasn't a kind of challenge or anything like that. So he was a bit worried that it might be a ligament strain or something like that. So I think that will be key, because again, I thought Corey was very good the other night, and we haven't talked about Henriksen, which for a debut, again, the couple of friends of mine, Trina and Anne, who sit next to me, both had him as man of the match. Early in the second half, they thought he was excellent, and obviously the sponsors did as well. And interestingly, when I read Gregor's comments in the post, he kind of said he thought he looked quite leggy and tired, and didn't seem as overly as impressed. So again, it just shows that it's about opinions. But I thought he was excellent and gave us that physical
bit of stability, wasn't it?
Yeah, and not even the physical presence in terms of, you know, put your foot in a bit of a, you know, nasty kind of, he knows what it's about. Just more from a height point of view, and being able to sort of stand up to what was going on. You know, I think Han Noah is excellent. I think Adam Nash has lost a bit of form, but, you know, you can see there's a good player there. But Henriksen just gave you that more of a physical, manly presence, if you like, that, yeah, absolutely. If both are fit, then, you know, they're in the middle for me. And they'd have to be on top, because obviously Leeds have got some decent midfielders. And like you, I would go with Famara and Naki up front. I think you're right. I think probably Nick will drop out on this one, just because I think the way that Lee will end up setting up. But yeah, I would bring Nathan back in and go with five, because I think we will have to defend an awful lot in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's decisions like this that is where Johnson sometimes comes under so much fire for his team selection and then his substitutions. I wouldn't want to be picking the team. I don't think it's one of those really difficult ones where do you go after Leeds because they're on a bit of a downward spiral, or do you show more respect and not risk it? It's a very, very tough call. But I think you've got to wait and see what personnel you've got.
Yeah, and I think you've got to look at the opposition that you're against as well. And like I said, Derby were a good side the other night, and we defended against them and then countered when we needed to. I think Leeds are another level again. And I think if we're too open, too expansive, especially away from home, I think they could pick us off. So I'd see us going defensive and, yeah, probably Nathan coming back in, especially in the form that he had been in, you know, up until Saturday. And it wouldn't surprise me if Callas is on the bench.
Especially if it's three at the back.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's back fit, I think there will be every chance that he'll come on the bench. And then it's just whether it's still that creativity. You know, it's nice to see Casey Palmer on the bench, although he didn't get on. But I think we'll need something to open Leeds up. But you know, if we can get a, like they always say in it, but if you can keep the first 20 minutes quiet and not give too much away, then you know we've got a chance. And again, you know, as a player for City, you've got to be looking at it and thinking, what an opportunity we've got. You know, we go level with Leeds. Again, obviously goal difference, massive difference, but we go level with them if we beat them. You know, and it's a big ask, of course it is, but why not? You know, why not? Every opportunity.
Absolutely. Okay, all right. Well, before we sign off, they announced a couple of things this week. So the new developments planned for Ashton Gate and Bristol Sport, the base basketball stadium, and
the arena, etc.
All looks absolutely incredible. It seems the fly through and just can't wait to see it actually come to fruition. But any thoughts for you on that?
Do you know, Patrick's one of those that, like you, I looked at it and my first thought was, God, I mean, I'm approaching 50 in July and I know it's only a couple of years, but when you start getting, you know, you're hitting 50, you do sort of worry. And I'm thinking, I really hope I'm around to see this come to fruition. I hope planning gets approved. You know, I'd like to think because of the work they've gone back on, but it looks incredible. And I'll say it again, and I know it's a lot of youngsters, but anybody who questions Steve Lansdowne and what he's done for our club, first and foremost, but then for the city and for Bristol Sport, you know, needs a good hard shaking, because I think that the man, you know, he needs, well, freedom of the city and everything else, because I just think it will be an incredible, you know, arena, incredible sporting facility. Align that to what he's doing with Bristol Rugby in their training ground, our own training ground. Incredible. It's an unbelievable time to be a Bristol City fan, but then if you tie that into Bristol Sport, I think it looks amazing, mate. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, and Bristol Sport taking a back step for the kit design, bringing in Hummel.
It
to the next level. I mean, I don't know about you, I've had some of the Bristol Sport gear, and the quality is questionable for me. You know, my nephews have had some of the kits and they've been back two or three times with, you know, easily bobbles and things like that, and scags quite easily, that sort of thing.
And the, you know, the badges peel off quite easily and things like that. Now I agree, and I think again, Patrick, it shows so much behind the scenes, and what we're trying to do is taking us to the next level. And you know, going with a manufacturer like Hummel is doing that. I'm trying to think who we were with a couple of years ago. Didn't we do with Adidas or Nike, or I'm sure there was
Puma,
someone like
that, as well,
Puma. Yeah, I'm sure it was one of those. I think you're right, Puma. But I think it does take it to the next level. I'd like to think there would be a little bit more, more available. The lines that they do in the sort of shop, there's more to it. I think they're, you know, they miss a trick on things like beach towels in. You know, some of the tops that they do, and just some of the stuff you can get in the home, you know, bathroom towels and things that you get as Christmas presents and stuff like that. You know, I think they can do a much better line as well with what they've got in there. But for me, right step forward. I think Bristol Sport served its purpose. You know, and I do quite like the Robin design in, you know, the way that we've gone. But actually, I think, yeah, taking it to the next level again and showing we're ambitious. We want to, you know, work with companies that have achieved what they've achieved for clubs that are in and around the Premiership.
Absolutely. And then yesterday, the slight chink in the armour for me.
I know what you're going to say now, yeah.
Yeah, is the 125-year anniversary, which in itself has been questioned. 1894 plus 125, and you know, when we were actually formed, all those arguments surfacing. Yeah. But that aside, the kit, I mean, you can see what they're doing, an amalgamation of 9 different kits over the year. It's not something that I could see myself wearing, but I could buy it and stick it in a frame and put it in the downstairs toilet. If I was allowed to do that, I could
dream. Yeah, of course. I'm in the same boat. I think I'm surprised with the engagement that they had with I think the likes of Rob Skeets, Tony Wilkins, I think they were involved as part of the team that looked at the new sort of branding and the logo and stuff. I'm surprised they didn't look to do something similar for this. It does look as though it's been rushed and not very well thought out. I mean, it doesn't even flow from a kind of style. No. You know, we've all probably got our own favourites. I mean, I'd like to have seen the higher right, you know, single white stripe through the middle type scenario, but Dunder obviously still plays a massive part of it, and you understand that. But like you, it's not a top I could see myself wearing. It is something I might get just because of what it is with the 125 years. But then I didn't particularly like the 100 year one with all the players' names on it. I didn't think that was a nice look. I think it was a great idea. I didn't particularly like the style of it, so I didn't end up getting one of those because I didn't like the style and the colour of it.
Had that gold one as well. Do you remember that gold one for the Stoke?
We had the gold one for the Stoke final, didn't we? Yeah. I've got that one.
I got that. I think my mate was playing in the game. Joe Brunel was.
Joe played, did he?
We did buy those.
But I think something like that, they could have gone, again, similar sort of thing, a complete different colour, and then just had it with the piping of what it related to the 125 years, a bit like they do when they do the remembrance and they have the poppy stitched in. I think this one, like I said, I was trying to look at it and think if I could pick out what the 9 shirts were, and I couldn't. Yes, there were a couple of them. But I can't see them selling very many. And when you look online at fans' comments, I've seen a single one that's gone, do you know what? I love it. Or I'm going to get one because, I really like it. They will sell some, of course they will, but not as many as they could have done if it had been, thought out. Even to the stage of, well, why not go back to the first kind of kit that we wore? Something like that, you know, and I don't mean a kind of Toffs, you know, rugby shirt style thing, but just something paying a little bit of a homage to that, but still, you know, keeping it the red and white. I just think the mix of shirts make it look, just not very nice at all. And I don't see many people buying it. I'll probably have a look at it in the shop to see what it does look like up close. Mm. But, if it's still going to be 40 quid or whatever it is, then I think
it'll be 45 quid.
Yeah, I think they've missed a trick then on that basis. I really do.
Yeah, I think that when you're looking at it, the sort of the top half with the white across the middle and then the Man United seat winning the season a couple of years ago with the two white stripes down, I think it looked really nice. And if we had that something like that next year with Hummel, I think I'd be happy. But yeah, it's the sort of the bottom half and the back that gives it a little bit of a negative edge for me.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think most people have said the same, haven't they? So, yeah, I think they've missed a trick there. They really have. If they've got some fans involved or even, just thought about it a little bit more, I don't know. I'd like to know who came up with the idea, really, because it doesn't seem to be...
And it's not something that's been bubbling away for a while. It was like within hours of them mentioning it was there,
It's
come out of nowhere, but... Just watching Sky Sports news in the background, and Charlie Nicholas is doing his Super Six, and he's gone Leeds 3, Bristol City 2. So,
it'll be a hell of a game if it is. I'm not. We'd go 2-0 up, and it'd be like that.
I'm going positive. I'm going to go 2-1, and I think we could even go 2-0 up.
Catch a few goals
on the break.
Superstition for me. I very rarely, unless I'm absolutely pushed, will give a prediction. But I won't give a score. I'd like to think we'll come away with a share of the scores at least.
With something.
And I think that's the importance. If we can not get beat, then it still keeps us in touch with Leeds. Obviously, it will depend on other results. But I think with West Brom coming up as well, we're playing teams in and around us. And yes, you want to win those games, but it's as important not to lose them and to go those sort of further 3 points behind. So, as we sit today, I take a point tomorrow all day long. Yeah.
Brilliant. All right. Well, safe trip up. And
thank you, buddy.
We will catch up thereafter at some point.
Yeah. Just give us a dial. Let us know. Yeah. All right, Patch. Yeah. Have a good one, mate.
Take care. Anyway.
See you, bud. Bye.